Yes, it's the first leg of the Tab Touch Lounge trifecta for this week. It's the Friday morning edition. Great to have you on board. Peter Vlahos and Declan Kelly with you. David Short will join us in a little while. And as we mentioned this morning, we're here for the next couple of hours. We do it again Saturday morning between 9 and 11. And we conclude the weekend's activities with a full review of racing and sport on Monday mornings between 8 and 10. First, I'll introduce my co-host and then some breaking news within the last hour involving Tim Payne. A bit more news regarding the former Australian cricket captain. Declan, good morning to you.
Morning, Peter. Morning, everyone. Very nice to be here. What a beautiful Friday morning.
Yeah, blue skies, plenty of sunshine, and we've got a warm one today, heading towards the mid-30s, and that'll be the case again tomorrow, as we will discuss with Shorty, a big day at Ascot, being Winterbottom Stakes Day.
You know, I'm just listening there to Bittersweet Symphony. I must admit, I was driving around beautiful Perth yesterday, just visiting a couple of our sponsors, and I was sampling some other music radio stations, yeah, which we do from time to time, and Bittersweet came on. And I must admit, I thought, what are you guys doing playing our theme? That's a little bit selfish of me, but I was just having a giggle driving on. Yeah, beautiful morning. We've got a massive diverse range of sports and racing, which we do every week, Friday, Saturday, and Monday. And as we were having our meeting this morning, Pete, which we do, and a lot of listeners will be hearing this for the first time and finding out, the saga of Tim Payne has taken yet another twist this morning.
Yeah, it has. The former Test captain has advised Cricket Australia he'll be taking a leave of absence, that is a leave of absence, from all forms of cricket for the foreseeable future. He resigned, as we know, from the captaincy last Friday, so that's a week ago. Hasn't a lot happened in the last week? After sexually explicit texts he had sent to a former female colleague at Cricket Tasmania became public. He was due to play for Tasmania in a one-day match against WA today at Belrive, but has now made himself unavailable for selection. He was available for selection for the Ashes series, but struggled with the bat while playing for Cricket Tasmania's second 11 during the week, as he made his comeback from surgery on a bulging disc in his neck. Now, he sent a statement to Cricket Tasmania that he'll be taking a leave of absence from all forms of cricket for the foreseeable future. It was in the form of a statement, all forms of cricket, foreseeable future. Does that mean that he's decided to walk away from cricket and won't be available for the first test that gets underway against England at the Gabba on December the 8th?
Now, I've been listening all week, and I do listen around and read a lot, and we're both sports junkies, and it's become a soap opera. I don't want to get involved in anyone's private life. He is the Australian cricket captain. We both had our say, and I think most people agreed, untenable, he had to walk away from the captaincy, and he has, as the news was about to break. Mm. But Cricket Australia is a joke. Justin Langer, the coach, by all accounts, has had no say and will have no say in who the captain is going to be. You know, George Bailey wants to remove himself from meetings because of the friendship. It's a rabble. Now, will it affect the Ashes? I don't think so. I think Australia's got a well-balanced side, but this is going to take front and centre stage, and it's a soap opera. So I don't know what's going on behind the scenes this morning where he's decided now to take a leave of absence. Maybe it's all got to him. He's a young man with a family. He's made a mistake, but he hasn't killed anyone. So it's just ongoing saga. We need to move on. Cricket Australia needs to grow a pair. Point to captain, and let's get on with it.
Yeah, certainly. We'll discuss that with Shorty, and Steve will tell us you'll be on the line very shortly, and we'll have a chat with him. The other news is, regarding cricket, the Adelaide Strikers are now on their way to Perth. They belted their way into the WBBL final with a crushing 9-wicket win over the Melbourne Renegades last night. Now, from the outset, the home side dominated the challenger match at Adelaide Oval and never relented, bringing up the victory with 55 balls to spare. They actually restricted the Renegades to a paltry 8 for 83, the fourth lowest total in their history, to book a spot in tomorrow night's decider against the Perth Scorchers. It's going to be a big game here tomorrow night. Great to see top flight sport return to Optus Stadium. Let's hope we get a bumper crowd. They're forecasting possibly over 30,000 for the WBBL final. The Scorchers taking on the Strikers. Of course, the Scorchers led by Sophie Devine, who, in my opinion, with bat and ball, has been the player of the WBBL season. She's been outstanding, the New Zealander. And let's hope she's in full cry tomorrow afternoon in the twilight and leads the WBBL Perth Scorchers to the title. $10 for adults, $5 concession, and children under 15 free. It'll be a really balmy night with the forecast top tomorrow now 36 degrees. And I reckon people will want to get out and maybe just relax and what's going to be a terrific night here at Optus.
Oh, most definitely. And the scene is set. I've been listening to you on Drive all week. Great shows as always. And some great news. I know a lot of people will be across this and a lot won't. Young Danny Hodgson, after 82 days in ICU, has been moved for the next phase of his rehabilitation at Fiona Stanley. Long way to go, but wonderful news. Trying to get Kenny Lowe on to have a chat, who's very close to the family and obviously an icon of local football, and we might do that later on. But that caught my eye. Good news. We're always looking at the in media.
He's still got a long way to go, but at least he's out of that sort of critical phase now. It's all about now rehab and trying to get as much back out of his body as possible, of course, his mindset as well, because he had some significant injuries and damage to his head region, didn't he?
Oh, very much so. So we all hope and pray for his speedy recovery, but at least he's moving in the right direction. And I noticed, Pete, in the SEN headquarters, Harness Royalty is in the building in Mort and Mick Radley, and their show, they're preparing for 11 o'clock this morning.
Look at Mickey Radley, he's wearing a pink shirt today. Very, very trendy.
He's a new age man.
Yes.
Now, speaking of Gloucester Park, the wonderful people at Racing and Wagering. You know, the go-getters there who
they're on their way to work. Good morning to you
good
all.
Good morning. Big Rich is a little bit depressed because he's a Sheffield United fan and he was sending me some notes yesterday. They've got rid of their manager or they've parted ways already because they've had a very bad start in the championship. So, Rich,
he's a fanatic, isn't he?
Look at the sky. It's blue. There's always something good.
Well, they wouldn't see a sky like this in Sheffield, let me tell you.
No. And speaking of Gloucester Park, on the Tab Touch app, I go on about it a lot because I really love looking and reading the blogs each week for a range of sports. Listen to Mick Radley and Mort's 11 o'clock, but also go on the blog now and have a look at Trent Cooper. It's Gloucester Park preview for
Fremantle Dockers, AFLW coach.
What a talented man and very good form. And I was reading the blog this morning. And if you want a little bit of bang for your buck, his best bet is in race one. But you need to go have a read of his very extensive preview of Gloucester Park tonight. And at the bottom of the preview is a code word that will give you a chance to win a $50 Tab Touch voucher.
Good stuff. And the number is
0487-736-736. Now, you always like to come up with the comments. I always ask what people are looking forward to on the weekend best bets. It's really anyone who contacts the station. We'll give you a shout out. 0487-736-736. Put you in this big SEN barrel. And just before 10 o'clock, hopefully we have the pleasure of contacting you and awarding you a $50 Tab Touch voucher.
Okay, so here we go. 15 West Australians over the last couple of days, Declan, realised their AFL dreams in the national draft. Fremantle and West Coast going 100% local yesterday. And we're going to speak to a man that would be very proud. He's the state development manager when it comes to talent in Western Australia, Adam Jones. He's going to join us and we'll reflect on the WA success story when it came to the AFL draft. As I said, the clubs, the Eagles and the Dockers primarily, certainly the Dockers have 100% local. As we know, the Eagles certainly recruited one young fella from Eastern Australia, but predominantly it's been the local lads that have now got an opportunity to stay at home and play for our two AFL clubs. And we'll have a good snapshot on that a bit later on here on the Tab Touch Lounge. Adam Jones is going to join us.
You know, we spoke last week, and you got to sometimes look at the humour and things, Pete. And I know the Barmy Army, who, you know, people have said, well, England cricket with all this racism at the moment needs to look in our backyard. But I think we need to just be a bit light. They're going to sing their ditties, even the English guys who are based in Australia who may not be travelling. So you can just imagine the banter and the songs that are coming across. Good morning, Roy from Templestowe. I told you where Templestowe was last week. Roy, very nice text. Don't read on air, just a chuckle. And he goes on to say something about Tim Payne and his back problem. But good morning, Roy. No, I won't read it on air, but I tell you what, Pete, there's going to be a little bit of banter going on this summer.
Oh, yeah, and I love their songs. It's very similar. We get a sample of that, don't we, in some ways, when we go to the Perth Glory home matches and we hear the Glory Shed supporters, and they were in full cry last weekend. We'll touch on the A-League a bit later on as well. We're going to take a break. We'll invite David Short to join us, as he normally does on a Friday morning. Plenty to get through, including, as I said, a full exciting program at Ascot tomorrow. It is the Tab Touch Masters Series, and it's the Winterbottom Stakes Day tomorrow. 36-degree day coming up for Perth at this point in time. Let's hope it doesn't get too much hotter than that. 0487 736 736 to be in the running for that Tab Touch voucher. Of course, with Tab Touch, the race starts when the bet's on. You can always better your bet with Tab Touch. 60 years they've been going. What an institution. And their message always has been gamble responsibly. And if you need some advice or guidance, Gamblers Helpline there, 1-800-858-858. Declan Kelly, Peter Vlahos, joined by David Short after the break right here on the Tab Touch Lounge.
Live on SEN Track, you're listening to the Tab Touch Lounge. With Tab Touch, the race starts when the bet's on. Tab Touch. Better your bet. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help on 1-800-858-858.
Great to have your company on this beautiful Friday morning in Perth. If you're listening on SEN Track 657 or on the app, great to have you on board at 18 past 8. And we welcome in, as you run through the barrier now, in David Short. David, very good morning to you, Shorty.
Good morning to you, Pete, Deck, everyone tuned into the Tab Touch Lounge. I've hit the ground running too, boys. Straight to the top.
Yeah. Mate, very good. Great to have you back, and it's exciting times with, I tell you what, some big stories happening in sport. We've got the Tim Payne story this morning, which we woke up to in a sense, where he's advised Cricket Australia that he'd be taking a leave of absence from all forms of cricket for the foreseeable future. So what's going to be interesting is he's taking a break, all forms of cricket, foreseeable future. You'd have to say now, Shorty, that he's out of the Ashes series, because if he's not playing any cricket, because he was due to play in the one day, the Marsh Cup one day today against Western Australia, and he's pulled out of that this morning.
Oh, I don't think we'll be seeing Tim Payne in Australian colours again heading forward, boys, and I don't think we might never see him play cricket again at the top level, sort of even state cricket. Time will tell there, but the golden rule when it comes to the Australian cricket side is, you do whatever you can to make sure that your next in line doesn't get a crack at it. Because if they get in and start doing well, your prospects of getting back into the side are basically next to zero. So he would be aware of that. And obviously there's more at play here than just his career in cricket. It's about mental well-being and just getting away from the spotlight and the pressure he's really feeling at the moment. And first and foremost, you've got to think about the guy as a human being and his family, and look at the big picture a little bit. And if this is what's best for Tim Payne right now, then I'm right behind it.
Shorty, since the news first broke, it's become a soap opera, which we always expected it to be. But I don't think it will. Do you think it'll take away from the team's preparations for the Ashes?
It's got the potential to have some knock-on. I think, obviously, there'd be a portion of the playing group that would have been buoyed by the T20 World Cup success, and there'd be a bit of positivity around that. I will say, though, that this has got the potential to be a distraction. There's going to be a new captain at the helm. That's going to be a challenge, obviously, and just the team dynamic. And just listening to some comments from someone like Nathan Lyon's really interesting. So he's had a great partnership with Tim Payne, and his comments were, I rate him the best gloveman in world cricket, and I think he should be picked. He'll miss him significantly if he's long-term in relation to stumpings and also catches behind the wicket. That's something that has probably been unnoticed on the way through.
Yeah. We Shorty, always say, you make a good point there. Let's just have a listen. For those people that didn't hear that comment, this is what Nathan Lyon did say about the glove work of Tim Payne.
I've got a lot of time and a lot of support for Tim. I love him to death, to be honest with you. And Tim made a mistake four or so years ago, and he's taken a lot of courage and owned that mistake. And I've got no dramas with Payne at all. I'm actually really looking forward to seeing him. And we'll go on from there. Oh, 100%. Tim's done an incredible job for Australian cricket over the last 4 years. And I think that flies under the radar a fair bit, to be honest with you. And just from inside the change room, he's extremely loved by everyone inside that change room, from the staff to all the players. So I know, talking from on 100% from every bowler, you want your best keeper there, and Tim is the best keeper in the world in my eyes. So I've got no dramas. I want him there.
There you go, Shorty. That's just on the back end of what you were commenting. I think you make a very valid point. I think it will impact the Australian team, because what's really transpired here is Cricket Tasmania, one of the affiliates of Cricket Australia, has attacked the governing body the way they've handled this. And no doubt it'll spill down to the players. I've spoken to a couple of ex-players who reckon Tim Payne did a dumb thing. And in the end, it was a silly thing that he did 4 years ago. And hey, we're not all saints. We all make mistakes, but he's been in the profile. But they reckon you won't find a nicer, more genuine bloke than Tim Payne, and his players truly enjoyed playing under him. Now, this is going to be a very interesting scenario, how the players accept what's happened, certainly by the direction taken by the governing body, particularly when you've got Cricket Australia attacking Cricket, Cricket Tasmania attacking Cricket Australia.
Big time, 100% right. And I think, you know, the New South Wales Cricket Mafia, they're keen to get their gloves in and get their claws all over this at the moment. They can smell a bit of blood. There's an opportunity for them to have the captain of the side. They've already got the three fast bowlers. They've already got the spin bowler. They've already got Steve Smith in the setup. They've already got Dave Warner in the setup. They're pushing hard to get Trevor Bayliss in the setup. Do we just rename this the New South Wales cricket side instead of the Australian cricket side? I mean, it's something that's pretty important. I think Cricket Australia have got to show a bit of backbone here. To be fair, they've been a shambles in recent times. At the start of COVID, there were question marks over the finances of Cricket Australia. All that despite us having one of the most successful domestic T20 leagues in world cricket. For many years, the Sheffield Shield was seen as an absolute pump off as far as the money that was going into that to keep it afloat. Domestic cricket was a significant loss leader for Australian cricket. However, in more recent times, with the success of Big Bash cricket, the coffers of Cricket Australia right now should be swelling. They should be at an all-time high. The game should be humming along right now. The WBBL is going great guns. They're getting good crowds along to watch it. Boys, I think Cricket Australia they nearly have to have a very good look at themselves. The state of the sport should be very healthy. And yet only some 12 or 18 months ago, there was talk around about players having to take pay cuts because Cricket Australia had knocked off some of the money that should have been there. This needs to be looked at. And it's high time that there's a bit of accountability from the boardrooms of Cricket Australia, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, well said, Shorty. And speaking of Cricket Australia, I can't believe, I was talking about it earlier, that the coach, Justin Langer, that another move, I believe, of trying to maybe take a bit of his power base away. What code does a coach not have a say in the team's captain? Please.
Yeah, no, fair call, Declan. All right, boys, we've got a lot to get through. We'll come back to that and we'll discuss it more tomorrow, Shorty, on the Saturday morning edition of the Tab Touch Lounge. But tomorrow, a big event here, 10 minutes past four. When I spoke to you on my drive show last night, courtesy of Tab Touch, and we're looking at the odds, certainly, for what's happening in sport this weekend, we didn't exactly know who the Scorchers' opponents would be. It is now the Adelaide Strikers. They take on the Perth Scorchers for the right to be crowned the WBBL champions for this season. And the big game here is at Optus Stadium in the twilight, gets underway. First ball bowled at 10 past four tomorrow. So we've now got a market on the WBBL final.
We do indeed. And we see our girls heading as the slight favourites at $1.80, $2 for the Adelaide Strikers. Not a lot separating the two, and plenty of other markets will be available on the game by the time we get underway for tomorrow. But at this point in time, I've been really impressed with the Scorcher girls. They've had a wonderful season. They've been very, very impressive. They've got good depth with the bat. Their bowling stocks have really impressed right the way throughout the course of the tournament. They've got big-name players that have performed all the way through. Home ground advantage thrown into boot. I think the $1.80 looks okay.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, that's tomorrow. And again, we'll preview it more tomorrow morning on the Tab Touch Lounge Saturday morning edition, the morning of that big final here at Optus Stadium. The NBL, the Wildcats, I was with a few of them last night at a bit of a get-together because, as everyone knows, SEN, the radio network that we broadcast the Tab Touch Lounge on, are owners of the Perth Wildcats, and they're looking forward to the start of their season next Friday night. What's the current NBL market, Sir Shorty, as they head into a brand-new season that is long overdue? It's been a long pre-season.
It has indeed. And just quickly too, I guess, a couple of things. Perth are a little banged up to start this season off, but I think as the season goes on and we get to see the majority of the playing list healthy and well, we can see some good things from the Wildcats. And this time last year, if you can remember back, the Perth Wildcats pre-season before the season started were a $15 chance. And we mentioned at that stage that just seemed a ludicrous price. And they, in the end, if not for Bryce Cotton going down late in the season, would have gone awfully close to winning the lot. This time around, the bookmakers have been a lot more conservative with the Wildcats. So it's the Sydney Kings $4, Wildcats at $4.25 this time around. So second pick effectively from the bookies. Illawarra at $5.50, Melbourne United at $5.50, Southeast Melbourne at $6, and then we're right out to $19 about New Zealand. Now, there's a bet here, boys. $5.50 Bryce Cotton MVP. Quite simply, if he stays fit through the year, we're going to look back at this $5.50 at some point of this season and say, how did we not step in and get heavily involved with $5.50? Am I disrespecting the rest of the players in the league? Not at all. But if you have a look at Bryce Cotton's body of work over the last three seasons, boys, he has been different gravy to anybody else in this league. Perth are expected to have a good season. If he stays fit and well, that $5.50 is like, it's going to be like taking corn from a blind cocky down the track.
Corn from a blind cocky. I like that. Shorty, just before we take the news headlines, the other side of the news headlines, we've got the A-League and the EPL. I love sitting back and listening to you and Deck go through that. So we're going to do that in a moment, of course. Then we're going to get right into what is going to be a huge day of racing tomorrow. Of course, also touching on GP tonight and also the Greyhounds. But the NFL, the Dallas Cowboys are taking on the Las Vegas Raiders. And it's the Raiders who lead by 27-22 currently in the fourth quarter. What about some of the select games coming up across the weekend in the NFL?
Oh, we've got a grudge match here, Pete. Our teams are facing off with Buffalo up against
New Saints.
Orleans. Game on.
We might have a bit of a side one though, I think, Shorty, away from the Tab Touch Lounge.
That sounds okay to me. Happy enough to be with Buffalo, but I'm sure you'll be sticking with your Saints. The Bills go in faves here at 133, 335 for the Saints. Betting's on my terms there, Pete. I'm happy to get involved there. I might have to give you a head start. Atlanta take on Jacksonville, $1.78 for the Falcons with the Jags at 206. Carolina up against Miami, 178 for the Panthers with the Dolphins at 207. Deeper into the weekend, Pittsburgh up against Cincinnati, 250. The Steelers with the Bengals at 154. We see Tennessee up against New England, 340. The Titans, the Patriots at $1.33. LA Rams up against Green Bay is an interesting clash, 180 for the Rams with the Packers there at 204. And we rounded out with Cleveland up against Baltimore, 250 for the Browns with the Ravens at $1.54.
Shorty, I know we'll do probably a bit of NBA tomorrow, but I tell you what, I've got to make comment on this before we take the news headlines. What about Isaiah Stewart and LeBron James during the week? That was unbelievable. I reckon if Stewart got to James, he would have killed him. He was that fierce after copping that elbow to the face from LeBron, who's been suspended for one match, the first time in his 19 years that the star NBA player has been suspended in his time. But I tell you what, I've never seen such anger from any professional sports person for a long, long time. That was just amazing to watch, I reckon.
Big time, yeah. It was. It took a dozen people at one point to just hold him back from getting involved.
How many times did he break the tackle?
He just kept going, didn't he?
Exactly. He should play AFL, mate. He'd be able to break tackles all the time.
Big time, yeah. Dusty Martin's got nothing on him with the don't argues. It was pretty phenomenal stuff, and just shows you how fired up they can get there at the elite level of sport when somebody does something that they're not too keen on.
Good stuff. Okay, we're going to take some news headlines, then we're back looking at the A-League, the EPL, and then back into racing. Shorty's got some beauties ahead of Winterbottom Stakes Day tomorrow. Of course, day two of the Tab Touch Masters Series. Of course, Tab Touch do sponsor the Tab Touch Lounge. Thanks for their support. And, of course, with Tap Touch, the race starts when the bet's on. You know that. Gamble responsibly. Always call Gamblers Help if you need some assistance. 1-800-858-858. Steve, let's roll in some news headlines. Great to have you company on this beautiful Friday morning in town. Declan Kelly, Peter Vlahos, and the great man, David Short from Tab Touch, here on the Tab Touch Lounge. It's feeling even a bit more comfortable this morning, maybe because there's great weather in the air here on the Tab Touch Lounge.
It's a wonderful time of the year. And before Shorty gets into all his tips for every sport, racing, cold and everything else, 0487 736 736. What's your bet of the weekend? Have a look at the password for Trent Cooper's Gloucester Park preview. His best bet, as I said earlier, is race one, so we can get some money in the kitty if Trent Cooper's to be believed, and he's a very good tipster. Code word at the end of that. Let us know what the code word is or anything else you're thinking of, and you can be waltzing away with a $50 Tab Touch voucher.
Good stuff. David Short, let's look at the round ball before we get into, of course, all the racing, pacing and chasing and your preview to what promises to be a big day at Ascot tomorrow. Let's look at the A-League tonight. The Perth Glory take on Western United, 4:45 our time. And Declan, of course, a big round of EPL coming up as well.
Massive. And what I'm going to do this week, there's a lot of value around when we get the prices from Shorty, Pete, but I'm going to do a little bit of a combination of A-League and EPL because I think there's plenty of value this week. Shorty, we'll start off with the A-League. You were bullish last week, and rightly so, and VAR ruined their dream, which, look, it probably was technically right, but it just took a long time to make the decision. Very controversial, and stole the 3 points away. But Glory will be quite happy with the start. They were rusty, but they'll be better off at that 90 minutes. What's the prices for Western United, Perth Glory?
Yeah, I'm still sending the invoice through to the video ref, so Deck, after we missed out last week. Still happy enough to send the invoice through and hopefully get us over the line. No, this time around, the Glory go in. There's been a bit of money around for them as the outsiders. They're at 330 in from 350. The draw's at 350 and Western United FC at $2.10. You'd like to think we can get at least a point out of the game.
Yeah, I agree. Western United are a little bit of nomads, boys. Playing at Amy Park tonight, John Aloisi's the coach. They will be livid about losing 1-0 to an 80-something minute goal last week to up-the-road neighbours Victory. I agree. I think Glory would be happy to get something. I'm going to put this as part of my multi. There'll be goals in this game. I know there's no Andy Keogh, but Fonaroli has started. Sturridge will get a bit more game time tonight, a lot more than 7 minutes. But Glory have plenty of attacking options, and I think there will be goals. So I like, from a punting point of view, over 1.5 goals. And hopefully, not putting as part of my bet, Glory at least get a win or a draw.
Yeah, let's hope so. Let's hope so. Shorty, any other markets in the A-League before we head into the EPL?
What I will do is check with Deck. Are there any other A-League games you want to include in your multi this week, Deck?
Yeah, what I'm going to do, boys, is Adelaide. There's three games on tomorrow. I like two of the games. Adelaide are taking on Melbourne City. Adelaide looked impressive here last week, Peter. And again, I'm just going to go goals. They're all still finding their feet defensively. And I'm saying in the Western United game, there'll be over 1.5 goals. In the Adelaide-Melbourne City, over 1.5 goals. Sydney, again, looking good. They're playing MacArthur, over 1.5 goals. And on Sunday, Victory in Brisbane. And then the final game of the round, a very impressive Western Sydney Wanderers and Newcastle. What I'd suggest, punters, is just look at over 1.5 goals in all those games.
Mm-hmm. All right. So all games to have two or more on the way through. And it's happy days for A-League punters this upcoming weekend. Let's head to the Premier League and check out some of the key matchups for this upcoming round. We'll kick off with Arsenal up against Newcastle United. The Gunners here at $1.47, the draw $4.80, and the Black and Whites at $6.50.
Look, Arsenal are in a rich vein of form. They're at home. Eddie Howe's second game in charge, but first game that he's actually going to get to sit there physically on the bench. I'm not going to put it as part of my bet, but I think Newcastle will be very well organised, and I wouldn't be surprised. I'm looking at a little bit of value, win or draw for Newcastle in London, which it'll be paying a decent price, but the double chance. Not putting as part of my punting, but I think it's worth looking at for a bit of value.
On to the Crystal Palace, Aston Villa clash, 220 Palace. The draw 345 and the Villains at 340.
Yeah, we looked at Villa last week. We liked it and we came home well. Steven Gerrard really was almost that 12th man from the bench. I like Villa to get a win or draw up in London. Crystal Palace are doing very well under new manager Patrick Vieira. But I think Villa could steal something here. Not part of the multi, but look at Villa to win or draw.
On to the Liverpool-Southampton encounter. $1.28 Liverpool, $6 the draw, Southampton $10.50.
Yeah, you can't say much about Liverpool. That's just not unbelievably good. Same game multi, first leg of the multi. Liverpool to win and two or more goals in the game. Liverpool to win over 1.5.
Liverpool and over 1.5 goals there. Norwich City take on Wolverhampton, $3.50. Norwich City, the draw, $3.40. And the Wolves at $2.16.
Norwich will be up and about. They're at home. They've won two on the bounce now. They're under new manager Dean Smith. Not putting as part of my betting strategy, but I like both teams to score here on Tab Touch.
Moving on to the Brighton Hove Albion Leeds clash, $2.05. Brighton Hove Albion, $3.40. The draw, Leeds United, $3.80.
Leeds are in a world of pain. Graham Potter's doing a great job at Brighton. He's been linked with a lot of top jobs, but he seems quite happy down on the south coast. Brighton are going about their business just nicely. Not part of the betting strategy, but I like Brighton to win or draw it at home.
I bet he's happy. It's a beautiful part of the world right down there in Brighton.
Oh, you played a bit of cricket there, didn't you?
I didn't play any cricket there, but I had a couple of visits through Brighton, both trips that I was over in the UK playing cricket, and enjoyed it, really enjoyed it. Beautiful part of the world down there at Brighton. Brentford-Everton. Brentford, 220 here, 335 for the draw, and the Toffees are $3.50 outsider.
Yeah, very hard to predict from a punting point of view. So if you just want to sit back and just hopefully both teams hit the back of the old onion net, I'd suggest that. Both teams to score.
On to the Burnley-Tottenham encounter. 365 Burnley, 355 the draw. 204 here for Spurs.
Spurs lost last night to Slovenian miners, who no one heard about, worth £7 million collectively. And Spurs, if you're to believe, are worth over £750 million. So it goes to prove football is a funny old game, as someone once said. Antonio Conte will be livid. I like Spurs to get something here. He'll have them fired up. So the double chance, Spurs to win or draw.
Tottenham win or draw. And that is that miners as in underage or they go underground to earn a living?
Probably both, but they certainly made the joints of the EPL sit up last night in the Europa League, and good on them. They got a great result.
Leicester City taking on Watford, $1.64 Leicester City, one of the warmer favourites of the weekend, $4 the draw, and Watford $5.50.
Leicester won last night against Rapid Vienna in the Europa League, so that'll take a little bit out of them. One thing I think we can predict, I'm still going to stay conservative. This will be goals, goals, goals. Over 1.5, second leg of my multi.
All right, so Leicester City up against Watford. Plenty of scoring action there. Man City take on West Ham, $1.30 for Man City. The draw, $5.75, and the Hammers at $10.
Guardiola proving yet again he's the master during the week against Paris Saint-Germain. 1-0 down, don't sweat. They come home with a wet sail and they win 2-1. But they did. They were in Europe. West Ham are going beautifully. I'm going to just stay a little bit conservative here and just two or more goals in the game. Third leg of my multi.
All right, so over 1.5 there in the Man City-West Ham encounter. And Chelsea take on Manchester United. This should be very interesting. Chelsea going as the $1.58 hot pots, the draw $4.20, and the Red Devils at $5.80.
Yeah, boys, a little bit of breaking news here I have. Man United are poised, I've got it from very good sources, to appoint Ralf Rangnick. Now, you might ask who he is.
I'm asking you.
Okay. They're going to give him a six-month contract, an interim, which surprises me that they're not giving Carrick a bit more time. He's a 63-year-old German. He's most recently been the director of football at Lokomotiv Moscow. And he's been involved. Red Bull have a host of clubs, a bit like the Citigroup. They call him the German professor. And I think I was bullish about Brendan Rodgers getting the job, but this probably leans that they're going to wait for Mauricio Pochettino from West PSG, who can't get out of his contract for 6 months. I think it's a bizarre move, a silly move. I think Chelsea are on fire, and I think there'll be goals in this game. Now, you have to always watch United with Ronaldo. They've got a team of stars, so it's not going to be a walk in the park, but there'll be goals in this game. And I think Chelsea will get something, but I'm going to stay conservative, just two or more goals in this game. So my multi, boys, is Liverpool to win with over two or more goals in the game. Leicester, Man City and Chelsea games all to have over 1.5. and the five games in the A-League just to have two or more goals. Western United, Adelaide, Sydney, Melbourne Victory and Western Sydney Wanderers. And on Tab Touch, that's paying $6.55. Wow. We'll post that on Twitter, but I think there's a bit of value there, Shorty.
Yeah, good stuff. And also, we'll recap on that when Shorty gives his racing and sports multi. And he's going to do that after the break when we get and we deep dive into racing day two of the Tab Touch Masters at Ascot tomorrow. We've got a big field and a big meeting at Caulfield, Rose Hill. There's Gloucester Park tonight. And also, a lot of activity in the Greyhounds. Plenty to get through, plus the multis from Shorty. That's coming up on the other side of the break here on the Tab Touch Lounge.
Live on SEN Track, you're listening to the Tab Touch Lounge. With Tab Touch, the race starts when the bet's on. Tab Touch, better your bet. Gamble responsibly. Call Gambler's Help on 1800 858 858.
Great to have your company here on the Tab Touch Lounge with Peter Vlahos, Declan Kelly and David Short. Shorty, it's going to be a big, big weekend. Big day at Ascot tomorrow. Day two of the Tab Touch Masters Series, the Winner Bottom Stakes. And we've already got it here as a tweet. It'll be an emotional day tomorrow for Michael and Chris Cangemi as they farewell star galloper Rock Magic in the Winner Bottom Stakes. Rock Magic, I believe, 12 years of age, has been a real warrior in the local horse racing industry. And let's hope it's a fitting farewell tomorrow for Rock Magic.
Yeah, Rocky, as he's affectionately known, he's been an absolute marvel. 12 years of age. Look, his lead-up form's actually been very good. His effort in the Crawford Stakes was good, beaten less than a length behind the favourite for this race, Elite Street, and then last time out was beaten less than two lengths behind Elite Street. So it's not beyond the realm of possibility that Rock Magic could be somewhere near Elite Street at the end of this race. $31 and $6 to find out. There'll be plenty of people that will have a little sentimental bet on the 12-year-old tomorrow. They've done a great job, though. He's won $1.7 million in prize money, 16 of his 62 starts with a further 18 placings. Great story in WA racing. Good luck to all there with Rock Magic tomorrow. Elite Street heads in as a 265 favourite, boys. Look, I'm pretty keen Elite Street, to be fair. You can't do much more than what he's done. He won this race last year. He's had three runs back from a break. He's won the Crawford in impressive fashion, then did the same in the Prince of Wales over the 1,000 metres, up to the 1,100 metres of the Colonel Reeves. He's had eight starts at this track, six wins and a second, going as well as ever. I think Brad Rewilla knows the horse really well. Should be in the three wide line with cover and be steaming home late. I think Elite Street will get the job done tomorrow in the Winter Bottom Stakes. Dan Morton, the trainer, holds a really strong hand because he also trains the horse on the second line, Wilchino. It's drawn barrier one. They've got contrasting styles. Wilchino will be up front setting the tempo while we'll see Elite Street getting back and hitting the line. Money's been good for Wilchino, 440 into 330. Graceful Girls at 850, Red Can Man at 13, at 17 and upwards from there on the feature. There's a big first four carryover as well on the Group 1 Winter Bottom Stakes. Happy enough to be with Elite Street tomorrow, though, boys.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a big one, Shorty. What about the support program tomorrow? Anything that you can find for our Tab Touch Lounge listeners?
Certainly the JRA Trophy is a good race. Race number 7, Midnight Blue, aiming up at the Perth Cup. And really nice performance second up for the campaign last time out when winning the Ascot Gold Cup in pretty comfortable fashion. Won by a length and a half. William Pike's been running hot with five winners last week, including the feature aboard Western Empire. Lots of punters will be with Midnight Blue tomorrow. The regional championship final, the road to Ascot. Horses from all different form lines heading into this race. Again, Pike's the man that the punters want to team up with aboard Scandolo, into $5.50 now after opening up at $11, so halved its price there. Significant Hero 7 into 6. Warm and Fuzzy's been 7 and firm. All other runners, $8.50 and upwards. But another great race on the program tomorrow there. That regional championship final promises to be an excellent 9-race card.
I think at short notice, Steve, there's a big announcement tomorrow. It's already been announced, but it's a big day tomorrow, Shorty, at Caulfield, the Zipping Classic. And Glenn Boss, who rode Mackayvie Diva to three consecutive Melbourne Cup wins, has announced he will retire after the Caulfield race meeting this weekend. And I reckon one of the great lines in Australian sport was conducted when Glenn Boss, of course, took Mackayvie Diva to one of those three Melbourne Cup victories. Let's roll it. We may come back to that a bit later on. But it is going to be a big one, isn't it? Of course, Boss guided Mackayvie Diva to three Melbourne Cup victories between 2003 and 2005. Have a listen to this, Shorty. Here we go.
300 left to go now. Mackayvie Diva racing up. Envoy's trying to go with it. They've got to Portland Singer and Lachlan River. Here comes Leica Falcon and excellent. But Mackayvie Diva clear with 100 metres to go. Excellent runs to second. Olajuwon runs on. But a champion becomes a legend. Mackayvie Diva has won it. It is the greatest Melbourne Cup win of all time.
When a champion becomes a legend, one of the great lines in Australian sport, Shorty. And tomorrow they'll salute Glenn Boss at 52, has decided to give it away.
I'm happy to sign off on that. It's one of my all-time favourite race calls, to be honest with you, Pete. It was, and she, to be fair, I think she rates as my all-time favourite race mare, Mackayvie Diva. She was phenomenal. The partnership that she had with Glenn Boss was really special. I was lucky enough to be involved in breakfast radio for many years, and Glenn Boss was one guy that was always happy to come onto the program and promote racing. Great personality, a big personality in racing for a little man, to be fair. But he's just been tremendous in relation to promoting the sport, getting on the front foot, lots of positivity, and never shy to have an opinion. And look, he gets every chance to bow out a winner because he teams up with the horse that ran third in the Melbourne Cup this year, the very talented Spanish Mission. Gets in from a weight perspective here beautifully, underweight for age conditions, 59 kilos with just Silent Sovereign on 57, along with Luna Flair, the rest of the field all on set weights with Spanish Mission there. Goodness me, this horse has got panels on these. This should be a dead set space job. A warning with Damien Oliver aboard from Barrier One's maybe the only threat in the race, but I think Spanish Mission, from a class perspective, looks to have a heap on these, and I'd be staggered if it got rolled. It looks a fairy tale farewell to Glenn Boss in the Group 2 feature, the Zipping Classic, tomorrow afternoon there at Caulfield.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be a beauty at Caulfield. Rose Hill tomorrow at the Festival Stakes is the feature race.
It is indeed. And if you're doing your early form, look for the horses that are comfortable with flippers and snorkels, because they're having an absolute stack of rain over there at the moment. And this meeting will take place, but it will be heavily rain affected. So you definitely want to be teaming up with horses that have shown you that they're comfortable on the heavy surfaces in starts. Prior to Group 3 Festival Stakes, Ellsberg is a runner that has just had the one run on heavy, but was runner-up on that occasion and placed both starts on soft tracks in the past. It's a $2.90 favourite to take out the feature there. Brutality at $6.50, $10 for Bandersnatch Order Again. And Art Cadeau is a horse that has raced well on soft and heavy in the past. Three starts heavy, one win and 2 seconds, and five starts on soft for four wins and a second. It's one at double figure odds. It might be worth keeping an eye on tomorrow. Art Cadeau.
Okay, Shorty, a big weekend of racing, and we'll preview it even further with all the last-minute information. Tomorrow's Tab Touch Lounge between 9 and 11. Talking Harness with Mortz and Mickey Radley, 11 to 12 this morning here on SEN Track 657. The Mayor's Classic, the feature tonight at GP.
It is indeed, brought to us by Westrail. This is over 25.36, and Savvy Bromac heads in as the $2.65 favourite. The market here has very much gravitated to three key runners. Savvy Bromac, $2.25 to $2.65. Val Catherine's been well back, $3.90 into $2.80. And Born to Boogie, this is one that Pete Blahos has surely got some involvement with. $3.10 out to $3.40. Sarah Diamond's next best at $15. But Savvy Bromac, Val Catherine, Born to Boogie, the big three embedding boys. Watch out for the big first four carryover as well. Race 5 tonight there at Gloucester Park.
Okay, let's look at the Greyhound, Shorty. Did you like that deck?
He's got
Born to Boogie.
Into Icy Red, Icy Red, Icy Red. I don't know if he's running, but that's his double, Shorty.
Oh, God. Those are the days, the disco days, your flares and, you know, your big shoes and, you know, the mullets. The mullets are coming back, Declan. I told you they'd come back. I've had the mullet, I reckon, for 40 years, and they're coming back.
You stayed with it.
Yeah, you look at all the AFL draftees yesterday, Shorty. The last couple of days, they've all got mullets, haven't they?
That's very true. Yeah,
I said I've seen.
And it was,
Go on.
It was only ever a matter of time before it came back, Pete. And you've stayed in there long enough for it to go retro, go full circle and come back again. And I can just picture you there with the open shirt number, a bit of bling rolling off. You would have been owning the dance floor, no doubt about that.
I tell you what haven't come back is the brown flares. I wonder if they'll come back. All right, Declan, back in your horse. All right, now let's look at the Dogs. Sandown tonight and, of course, Mandurah. Happening tonight. We might touch and leave Cannington tomorrow morning, Shorty, just because of time constraints. But give us the program for Sandown tonight. It is a big night there, and also maybe a couple of likely winners from the Mandurah program.
Yeah, certainly. Well, tonight there at Sandown, it's a must-watch program if you enjoy your greyhound race. We've got the Group 1 Melbourne Cup, which is arguably the most prestigious greyhound race of the year. Aston Rupee's been popular at the head of that market at $235. There's a $250,000 quaddie carry over here. That pool's expected to be north of $1 million. This is a quaddie you have to be getting involved with, greyhound fans, tonight. And down at Mandurah this evening, interesting program there. The Dawesville Cup final, the feature. Better bets on the program race. Number 4, Monogrillo, maps to find the top and lead throughout. Similar for race 6, number 1, Bones McCoy. And we're getting a bit of each-way value about race 7, number 4, Torza. This greyhound has been racing in stunning fashion at Cannington against some of our best sprinters. Drops back to provincial grade. Looks really well placed. 4-4, Monogrillo, 6-1, Bones McCoy, 7-4, Torza. Tonight there at Mandurah.
Fantastic, Shorty. Okay, let's look, and Declan will repeat his EPL multi with your racing and sports multi. What are we looking like this weekend?
Okay, so from the sports perspective, the bet that we identified on the way through there, it's worth a play right now before the season starts. So Bryce Cotton to win the MVP, $5.50 is absolutely a nice bet to have. Set and forget, put your money on, and at the end of the season, I think you'll be collecting that price. It's well worth a play. And from a multi perspective this weekend, I think the Scorchers girls will win the WBBL final, so I'll take them. And a couple of NBA games tomorrow. I think Charlotte can knock off Minnesota, and I think Chicago will be too strong for Orlando. So the Hornets and the Bulls to win in the NBA tomorrow morning into the WBBL final to be taken out by the Scorchers girls. That's at $4.11 to go with Bryce Cotton to win the MVP at $5.50. And my racing multi, I'm heading to the two feature races this weekend. I think Elite Street will win the winter bottom. I'm happy enough to be involved at the $2.65 there. And Spanish Mission, fresh off that third in the Melbourne Cup. That looks hot, hot form for the Zipping Classic. I'm sticking with Class to Prevail. Elite Street to win the winter bottom and Spanish Mission to win the Zipping Classic. Roll them together. $4.10 for this weekend. Happy to have that duo as my racing combo for the weekend upcoming.
Good on you, Shorty. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to sharing your company again tomorrow morning on the Tab Touch Lounge Saturday edition. Enjoy your Friday.
Thanks, boys. And remember, if you're going to have a punt, be sure to do it responsibly.
Yes, Gambler's Help there for you. 1-800-858-858. Tab Touch Lounge, of course, sponsored by Tab Touch. The race starts when the bet's on. Always better your bet with Tab Touch. Been going for 60 years. And just repeating the EPL multi for our big footy fans out there that like getting involved with it. Declan, what have you gone with?
Liverpool to win over 1.5 goals, same game multi. In the Leicester game, the Manchester City game and the Chelsea game, all over 1.5. And then just jump on the A-League. 5 of the 6 games I think will have over 1.5 involving Western United tonight, Adelaide, Sydney tomorrow, and on Sunday, Melbourne Victory and Western Sydney Wanderers, and that's paying $6.55. And speaking of prizes and racing and wagering, 0487 736 736. Go on there, go onto your app, go to the blogs, Trent Cooper's Gloucester Park preview, which is very extensive and very good. At the bottom of that preview is our code word. Text us in and you could be going away with a $50 Tab Touch voucher.
Good stuff, Dick. Thanks for that. And, of course, we're trying to raise as much as we can for Inner Ninja, which is our allocated charity that deals with certainly youth mental health and the prevention of suicide with that generation. Inner Ninja, all our proceeds. That's why we put our multis together. And it's been supported by Anthony Caminiti, the dealer principal of Bayswater Mazda. And I believe he's been in touch with you, Declan, and we'll give our listeners his so-called investment towards the multis after the news.
He's a very busy man. He's got the Mazda dealership in Bayswater, as you quite rightly said, and they're very busy. We'll touch base with Anthony. We'll find out exactly how much he wants to put on. and all those proceeds as we head towards the end of the year going to Inner Ninja, as you quite rightly said, Pete.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And as well as that, after 9 o'clock, we're certainly going to focus on the AFL National Draft for 2021. And a man that I spoke to early in the week on my drive program is a WA State talent manager. His name and a man that certainly is right across is Adam Jones. He's going to join us because 15 West Australians were selected in the draft over the last couple of days, and that's ahead of the preseason and rookie draft today. So Adam Jones is going to join us after 9 o'clock as well. We'll clear a break. We'll check in and get a few news headlines, and then back for the second hour of the Tab Touch Lounge. Ah, yes, in all its glory, the signature tune for the Tab Touch Lounge. And we welcome you back for the second hour. As I was stating, the big story this morning is that former Test captain Tim Payne has advised Cricket Australia that he'll be taking a leave of absence from all forms of cricket for the foreseeable future. He resigned from the captaincy this time last week after those sexually explicit texts he had sent to a former female colleague at Cricket Tasmania became public. He was due to play for Tasmania in a one-day game against WA today at Bellerive Oval in Hobart, but has now made himself unavailable for selection. And he's basically gone on to say that he will then take a leave of absence from all forms of cricket for the foreseeable future. That was in a statement that was released by Cricket Tasmania. Now, Ricky Ponting, the former Australian captain, was featured on Channel 7's Front Bar during the course of last night. And before this happened this morning, as we know, Australian Test cricket captains tend to stick together. Mark Taylor has been very supportive of Tim Payne. And this is what Ricky Ponting said regarding Tim Payne last night, courtesy of Seven.
I've been keeping a pretty close eye on things the last week because he's actually got this chance to play a second 11 game. I think he took 9 catches and might have scored 8 runs in the games. And that's, I think, the biggest worry that the selectors would have had is coming back from injury, lack of cricket, this big cloud hanging over his head as well that he's probably dealt with better than the public would probably understand. Yep. I haven't spoken to him a couple of times. Still in my my opinion, still the best wicketkeeper in Australia, hands down. So I actually think they will pick him for Brisbane.
So there you go.
What a difference 12 hours makes.
Yeah, and still rates him as the best wicketkeeper in Australia, hands down. And that was the comment. I just reckon he's a real likeable character. There hasn't been any player or any former player that's come out and really been negative towards Tim Payne from a playing perspective. And I was speaking to a couple of cricketers over the last 24 hours that played with Tim Payne, and they've all been very supportive. They've just said 4 years ago he just did something that was, pretty childish,
stupid. It was
pretty
stupid,
pretty dumb in a long ways. But as I said, you know, he's no orphan.
Pete, there'd be no one listening to this radio station at the moment, and if they are, they're very unique, who have not made a mistake, some bigger than others, and a bad decision. Now, it was a shocking decision, silly and all that, but he's human. He had to step down as the captain. We've talked about it many times. It's seen as such a prestigious position. He knew the story was about to break. His wife's forgiven him. He's moved on. But in this day and age, it's so easy to just jump on and hammer someone. I think he still had a part to play, but he's obviously got too much for him. And now he's 36. He had a lot going against him. Mark Waugh said the same thing. So it's time to move on. When we worked many years ago with the greats of broadcasting, Pete, George Grilicich and Bobby Mormel, I remember I was more behind the scenes in management. You were alongside these great people. They always used to say, if you don't know something, ask your listeners. They're always a font of knowledge. Mm. It's coming in now. I think we've all known it. Good morning, John. We knew it was coming, but Pat Cummings will be officially named as captain next day or so, probably even as early as today. I think Cricket Australia now, with this decision that's probably been taken out of their hands, will they, won't they include him in the side? Tim's decided to walk away for personal reasons. Make the announcement and let's get on with the Ashes. Let's get on with the sport. And I know I can say this. It's not going to go away with tabloid and social media, but it's a private matter for the Payne family. He's got a young family. just move on and let's get on with the sport.
Yeah, fair call. Interesting also in that dramatic swift turn of events, it appears that his manager has come out saying he's extremely concerned for both Payne's welfare and that of his wife, Bonnie. And it appears that those close to Payne were floored by the decision this morning, which appears to have been made overnight. The national selectors were only told Payne would be stepping away from cricket an hour before the news became public. So something's transpired. No doubt he's had a conversation with somebody or he's had a deep think overnight and he thought, it might just be best for me to walk away lock, stock and barrel, and hopefully in time, through the passage of time, that this in some ways will go away and I can return back to normality with my wife and my kids and we can get back on track. It'll take a little while. It'll take a little while. But as long as you're in the cricket spotlight, which he will be, and it looks like he certainly was going to be selected for the first and second tests because the squads have already been announced, there would be, of course, a conversation regarding Tim Payne. Is he the best wicketkeeper? And maybe he's thinking to himself, Declan, with this in my mind, I can't fully concentrate on doing a good job for Australia. Because you know something, when you're trying to work on something and you've got also something else bobbling around in your mind, it can take away the focus. And I gather he's thinking, my mental state of mind, because of what's bubbling around in my head, will not do me a service or Australia a service when I need to concentrate every ball behind the stumps for Australia this coming summer. But something's transpired last night, and no doubt he's had dialogue with himself, maybe, or with his family, with others close to him, and he's decided to make this decision of walking away from all forms of cricket for the foreseeable future. So now Cricket Australia need to regroup with the national selectors and say, OK, who do we put in now in the place of Tim Payne behind the stumps?
Pete, we all saw the news this week and listening to it on radio and reading about it online and watching it on TV. There was a media scrum around it. It's a story. He was trying to go out and play cricket and, you know, he's not going to be left alone.
No.
He's got a young family. He's doing, and I'm not condoning what he did. He made a mistake 4 years ago. He's going to the local shops. He's doing the school run. Can you imagine the pressure on his wife, his kids? They're going to grow up reading about it. Enough's enough. Let's just move on. Now, speaking of cricket, what type of crowd are you? You were saying earlier they're doing their level best. We broadcast here from the wonderful Optus Stadium. Big crowd here tomorrow at 4:10,
hopefully they'll get around 30,000. I know I spoke to Christina Matthews on my drive show at the start of the week, and at that stage they'd already sold in excess of 10,000 tickets for the contest. So people know they can walk up and buy a ticket tomorrow. As I said, it's going to be a warm day, 36 degrees at this stage, the forecast top for your Saturday. The game gets underway at 4:10, so when you come here, make sure you're in the shade. But I'm forecasting possibly if they get to 30, they'll be very, very happy. It's a grand final. It's a chance for the WBBL side to win their very first championship or premiership or title, whatever you want to term it, and they take on the Adelaide Strikers tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to it. It should be a good one.
I'll tell you, I was just listening to Shorty there, and there's some great sport and obviously a huge day at Ascot, and he was very bullish about a couple of horses there. Scorchers are still $1.80 on Tab Touch against the Adelaide Strikers, or $2. Home ground advantage. Shorty was bullish about it. That could be a bit of value tomorrow. Mm.
Let's go back to our multis. We haven't mentioned what Anthony Caminiti, the dealer principal of Bayswater Mazda, is looking at doing as we try. And in the last few weeks of this year, try and really ramp up the amount that we're going to be donating to Inner Ninja, our allocated charity here on the Tab Touch Lounge. And we hope that Inner Ninja certainly bear some fruit from our multi during the course of the year. Of course, a very good organisation that looks at youth mental health and the prevention of suicide in that community. So let's repeat those multis and see where Anthony's going to go as well from Bayswater Mazda.
He's very here and now, Anthony. He's a businessman. He wants to go straight to the bottom line. He's going to park the Bryce Cotton. I know he was very bullish about it, Shorty, most valuable player, but you've got to tie your money up for a long time. I'm not saying Shorty's wrong. We rolled the tape this morning, and I'm sure we'll talk about it many times on the Tab Touch Lounge as the year progresses in the NBL. He's really going to go quite conservative. He's going with Shorty's multi of Scorchers, Charlotte and Chicago to win tomorrow at $4.11, $50. He's putting $50 on his racing double, which is Elite Street and Spanish Mission. And he's going to put 50 on my EPL / A-League multi, $50. So as we go towards the end of the year and we want a nice big fat check for Inner Ninja, that's the way we're playing it.
Good stuff. We're going to take a break. Not far away, Adam Jones, the state talent manager. We're going to look at the AFL draft that's happened over the last couple of days. 15 West Australians were picked up, which is a great haul. And we'll get a good snapshot on the WA talent with Adam in a little while. Don't go away. It's 20 past nine here on the Tab Touch Lounge.
And track, you're listening to the Tab Touch Lounge. With Tab Touch, the race starts when the bet's on. Tab Touch, better your bet. Gamble responsibly. Call Gambler's Help on 1-800-858-858.
And just some breaking news. We had Tim Payne at the top of the program here on the Tab Touch Lounge, and social media has just come out saying that Pat Cummings has been named as Australia's 47th male test captain. Former captain Steve Smith will serve as his deputy as part of a new leadership team to be installed after Tim Payne's resignation last week. Cummings had the overwhelming support and was the favourite to take over from Payne after being made the sole vice-captain some 12 months ago. And it is Smith's first official leadership position since being stripped of the captaincy after the ball tampering scandal in 2018.
Oh, they love breaking news when we're on air.
Yeah,
not unexpected, but I'm glad it's happened. Maybe that decision last night by Tim Payne, he's taken the sting out of everything by Willie Wonty, and good. Now let's get on with the game and let's get on with the cricket.
What else is happening? You're talking something off air about rugby and something for people that might be interested in.
Our great partners at Tab Touch Lounge, Rawa Racing and Wagering, and the Tab Touch brand. Good morning to everyone. They've just announced their newest sponsorship. They've become an official partner. They're involved with all the other codes, Glories, AFL football, and they really are the local powerhouse, and they put the money where their mouths are. They're an official partner, Pete, for the 2022 Super Rugby Pacific season Western Force. They'll have their logo on their shorts, and they're very excited about it, getting involved. Obviously, there's a wide range of betting options, huge rugby, and I think that's rugby 2027 now, as you covered very well on your drive show, has been Australia's got their World Cup rights. And
It looks like they're certainly the preferred country.
I think you'll find
it's I think it's rubber stamped too, without being official.
Have I gone a little bit early there?
Well, I think we're all reading through the same.
I was on the BBC this morning, and, you know, the hierarchy of being in London, some great names of world rugby, they've made a great case, and I think it's just a formality.
Yeah.
So rugby, you know, really
and
is.
It needs a fillip, doesn't it? Because it's gone through a pretty tough patch
the last decade. I still think, will it take away from NRL, AFL and the World Game? No. But I think it's a real sport. They do it well when they get going. And I think there's a huge upside here. And I know it's very big, obviously, in New South Wales and Queensland. But I think there's a real majority here who are really into their rugby, both at a world stage, Western Force, and even at grassroots level. So well played to everyone at Tab Touch for the newer sponsorship, and they'll be on the shorts when the season starts very soon in the new year.
Ah, fantastic. Good news. And, of course, Tab Touch supporting all codes of sport here in Western Australia. Just repeating, Pat Cummings has been named Australia's 47th male test captain after the embattled ex-skipper Tim Payne announced an indefinite break from cricket. The fast bowler, by the way, has played 34 international tests and has taken 164 wickets. So there you go. He almost now goes in the likes of Wasim Akram, Kapil Dev, Imran Khan, who batted at the top of the lower order around about 7 or 8. Well, Cummings will bat at 8. But then fast bowler opening the attack for the likes of... And I'll tell you what's interesting. We've got Josh Hazlewood. We've got Pat Cummings. There's, of course, Mitch Stark. I wonder where Jai Richardson's going to fit in all this. This is going to be interesting. A lot of people are saying, and there was a poll conducted during the course of the week, would you go with Mitch Stark or Jai Richardson? An Australian poll, the greater percentage was with Jai Richardson.
Wow.
At the expense of Mitchell Stark. Mm. So I think if anyone's going to make way for Jai Richardson, the West Australian, who performed very well in recent times, certainly at Shield level, it may be Mitchell Stark who may be given maybe the door to say, mate, we're going to give the young fella a chance at your expense. Just cool your heels for a little while.
Pete, I just want your opinion on something. Just with the text line going off, Eric of Woodvale has asked, boys, what do you think of the upcoming Australian Open with the Djokovic thing? It seems to have gone a bit quiet.
He'll play. I reckon he'll play.
He's just a strong-willed character, and I don't know whether he's been vaccinated or not, and if he hasn't, he won't be playing, but he really almost revels in that him against the establishment, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I think he's still... He lost a lot of brownie points when he played that tennis tournament in his native Serbia in the midst of the COVID world pandemic, when everybody was locking down, and he's decided to play tennis, no masks and all that sort of stuff, and he came in for severe criticism from, you know, the likes of Novak Djokovic and many others. Now, as I said to Brett Phillips, our SEN yep. tennis expert during the week on the program, is that he's going for his 10th Australian Open. He's got a chance to get in front of Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal to take 21 majors.
Very much so, yep.
So if he decides to skip the Australian Open, then there's no guarantee in 12 months' time that he'll be back here to be an outside or a favourite to take the tournament, because a lot happens in 12 months, particularly when you're at Djokovic's age. So I reckon he's got to rein it all in now, and he's no doubt driven by the motivation of becoming the greatest of all time. And I still feel he's the greatest of all time now. Now, a lot of people say it's Roger Federer. They toss it up. But for me, in relation to winning tournaments over all four majors or grand slams, as they term it in tennis, then the Joker, I think, is probably the greatest of all time. But he's not the greatest of all time when it comes to endearing himself to the sporting public around the planet. But Craig Tiley came out yesterday, the Tennis Australia CEO, feeling that he's quietly confident that Novak will be here at Melbourne Park in middle of January.
He certainly polarises. As a sports lover, I want to see a great Australian Open, both men's and women's. It's a large part of the calendar. We've had a very affected world sports calendar over the last couple of years. And I, again, with the cricket, the Ashes, I'm bubbling about lots of things. I just want the Australian Open to happen. If you were, and there's a lot of our listeners just changing tack, Pete, always interested in American sport. It's just the second minute in. We spoke about it earlier with Shorty. New Orleans Saints and Buffalo Bills have just started.
Yeah, I'm watching it now.
I know you are. 2 minutes in, no score as yet. So American sport with the basketball and the football continues to play a major part in our sporting calendar
as well. And this continue. This match will go until about midday our time. So there you go. Oh. Just go on and on and on. There they are. The good old New Orleans Saints.
The 80 players who play for each team will come on.
We're going to take a break. We'll speak to Adam, who's going to be the man who, as we mentioned, was across all the WA talent when it came to the AFL draft. An outstanding man. He's done a lot of hard work, and he'd be pretty proud with what he achieved in getting 15 West Australians, as we mentioned, drafted yesterday. And we'll speak to him next here on the program. We're talking about Adam Jones. He's the state talent manager here in the for the WA Football Commission. He'll join us after the news headlines here on the TA Tab Touch Lounge. Great to have you company on this splendid Friday morning here on the Tab Touch Lounge on SEN with Peter Vlahos and Declan Kelly. Great to have you company. Let's get into the AFL National Draft. Today we have the rookie and preseason draft. But what a great day for WA football. 15 players, of course, dreams have been fulfilled, and they have been taken by AFL clubs to further develop their football careers. And they're all teenagers, apart from Greg Clark, the 24-year-old mature age product from Subiaco, who was picked up by West Coast late in the draft yesterday. I spoke earlier in the week on my drive program to Adam Jones. He is the, as we know, a man that is the state talent manager for the West Australian Football Commission and has been right across a lot of these youngsters in his travels. Before that, he was the state recruiting manager for the Fremantle Football Club. So he's had an eye for young talent, and Adam joins us on the program on this Friday morning. Adam, thanks for your time.
No, thanks for having me on, Peter.
Congratulations. How are you feeling? 15 is probably a number. Many thought it may be around about 12, 13, But that is a handy number. Out of 65, 15 West Australians got picked up in the AFL National Draft, both on Thursday, in fact, on Wednesday, and again yesterday.
Now, we're absolutely buzzing to get nearly a quarter of the draft out of WA. It's a fantastic result and thoroughly deserved. But you do spare a thought for those that have missed out and hope that we can get a few more today in the rookie draft.
Yeah, and when does that get conducted? Is that around about midday our time today, the rookie in pre-season?
No, that's correct. 12 o'clock kickoff in Perth, so 3 o'clock in Melbourne. We're just trying to find through some sources that how many live picks there will be. I know there's a lot of clubs that have recommitted to drafting some players that were already listed. We're hopeful there might be still a handful taken that are undrafted talent.
Unbelievable. 15, as we mentioned, JMS and, of course, Neil Erasmuth went in the first round on Wednesday night, and the Dockers picking up those. But the big story yesterday, and certainly overnight on Wednesday night, was Matthew Johnson, the product from Subiaco, who was forecast by many to go in the first round. I felt sorry for his manager, and no doubt the family, as they wrestled with what happened on Wednesday when he wasn't picked up. But as we know, Fremantle took him with their first pick in round two. And what's really been exciting is that the West Australian clubs, the Eagles and the Dockers, have invested so significantly in local talent.
No, absolutely, Peter. And you know, it's a fantastic year for them to do that. The level of talent we've got is just outstanding, I feel, and we're going to have a number of players that play 100 to 200 AFL games. So it's a real sort of feel-good draft, I feel, from a WA perspective, with a lot of the guys staying local. And also some really good stories with Sheldrick and Warner going together to Sydney, and Corey joining his brother Chad. And then obviously Woe Woden and Van Ruin going to Melbourne together. Taj, fulfilling no doubt his childhood dream to follow in his father's footsteps. So some real feel-good stuff this year.
Mm. Is there one in particular that you thought, I didn't expect him to go, but he has gone and it's a great story? Or did you expect the 15 that actually were selected to maybe get picked up in the AFL National Draft or today's rookie draft? Is there any one that is a little bit of a nugget?
Yeah, look, we sort of thought 12 to 15 was going to be our range. So to get 15 is just absolutely awesome. We've still got a couple of blokes on the board that that are stiff, and we're hopeful today they get their opportunity. Bryce Watson from Swan Districts, Lockie Payton, West Perth, Jack Clark medal winner this year, Josh Brown from East Fremantle, and inside midfielder Kate Dittmar from East Perth, and obviously, Paddy Cripps' brother Josh is still there, and a Judd McVee from East Fremantle. So we've still got some really good names out there. And our message to those boys has been that it's going to be a year where we might have a few that are unlucky, but another feel good is the Greg Clark story, and what a great message it sends to the rest of our talent out there that it's a story of perseverance and. He's finally got his opportunity at the age of 25.
Yeah, no, it's a terrific story. So saying that, with the players that both Fremantle and West Coast have picked up, maybe a snapshot on the talent that Freo have picked up from the draft and then from the West Coast Eagles. Give us a bit of your thoughts, because reportedly both clubs have done pretty well.
Oh, they've done outstandingly well. Firstly, Fremantle, to get that key forward that they've been after for so long. And Jai is probably the best key forward in my time at the Football Commission. So to get him what they've needed for so long will be so pleasing for the club. His ability to protect the drop zone and take and contest a mark and a beautiful, accurate set shot kick. So he's going to answer a lot of the needs that they've had over many years. And then Erasmus and Johnson just complement each other so well. And with Fife with his shoulder problems and 30 years of age, Mundy surely can't have too much longer, and losing Chera, to get those two guys in, it's just a fantastic fit for the club and terrific talent. And you add in Eric Benning, who's NGA prospect, who, you know, we really rated internally. His character and drive and coachability was fantastic this year, and we think he's got a really big future ahead of him. Mm-hmm. And then West Coast, who have really invested in their future, but also by picking up Clark, who have got a player for the here and now. So getting Brady Hoff, Rhett Bazo, and Jack Williams, they're guys that they're investing in the future. Terrific talent. Going to take a couple of years to develop physically and get their bodies big enough for AFL, but geez, there's some excitement with those guys and what they could bring in a couple of years. And then Greg Clark, who really reminds me of a Sam Menegola when he sort of hit his straps at Subi, and you know, so play a similar style of football and can, you know, big-bodied mids that can go forward and kick goals. I think he's going to be ready to play next year. And yeah, it'll just be a matter of him having a big pre-season and trying to work his way past a few of the talented Eagles midfielders.
I'm interested to find out about Eric Benning. We know and we've seen some great stories regarding footballers coming from these remote regions, even though Kununurra isn't remote. But we saw, of course, Sam Petrescu-Seaton, who originated from Halls Creek. And how long has Eric been down? Of course, he played at Claremont, but how long has he been down in the Big Smoke?
He's only been less than 12 months. So he moved down in January or early February this year. And probably the really pleasing thing with Eric and what will please Freo supporters, there was opportunities throughout the year where, you know, he's boarding at UWA and studying there, and there's opportunities for him to go home throughout the year, which quite often we see with kids that come regionally. They love to get home, and rightfully so, want to catch up with family and friends and get a bit homesick. But Eric chose to stay in Perth and focus on his footy. So what they've got is a really committed kid towards his football. He did a lot of work with Bo McDonald, our forward and ruck coach at State 18's level, and his ability to apply what was taught to him almost instantaneously was a real credit to Eric. And we just feel that, you know, time in the system and some pre-seasons, yeah, you've got a player that's, you know, similar, has some similar qualities to Paddy Ryder in his ruck work and leap and ability at ground level. Yeah, he's an exciting talent that I'm looking forward to watching develop over the next 3 to 4 years.
Adam, just a couple of final questions. The Motlot name is synonymous, as you know, with Australian rules football. And Jesse's uncles, he's got three of them, have all played in top flight. South Fremantle, we know that he was born in Adelaide. And, of course, he's on course now to become part of the Carlton setup. What about Jesse, and what excitement will he bring, knowing that the Motlops do bring excitement with what we've seen with previous generations?
No, absolutely. It's a terrific pick for Carlton. We rate Jesse really highly internally. He's a terrific young Indigenous boy, like, got some leadership qualities. You know, he had very good strength of opinion in meetings and when we're talking about trademarks and setting up the behaviours that we wanted to live by as a state program. He was a big part of that and really valuable stuff, what he had to say. And then he's got this ability to flick a switch and be really jovial, sort of mix in with all people within your program and just a great sense of humour. So he's a fantastic kid. He got challenged throughout the year with, you know, dropping a little bit of weight and his defensive side of the game, and he improved in those areas dramatically. And I know, speaking to a few guys at South Fremantle, it was his defensive pressure and tackling and stuff that kept him in the league team. So they've got a fantastic player in Jesse and a terrific character. So I'm really pleased for him. And I know it feels a need for Carlton, so you might see him playing some footy next year at that AFL level, given, you know, he played a lot of waffle football this year.
Yeah, good stuff. Adam, thanks for joining us here on SENWA on the Tap Touch Lounge. We appreciate it. Congratulations. And as you said, no doubt people involved in the talent program there at the West Australian Football Commission are delighted with what transpired yesterday. And let's hope there's a few more West Aussies getting picked up on the rookie draft today. Thanks for your time. And we appreciate the work you've done for WA footy.
Now, thanks, Peter. And thanks again for having me on.
Good on you. That's Adam Jones. He's the state talent manager for all the youngsters here on behalf of the West Australian Footy Commission. Declan Kelly, Peter Vlahos with you. We'll come back after the break and wrap up everything else that's happening in sport across the weekend. Right here on the Tab Touch Lounge. The race starts when the bet's on. You can always bet your bet at Tab Touch. Always gamble responsibly. Gamblers Helpline. Jot it down if you need some assistance or guidance. 1-800-858-858. It's coming up 14 to 10. Good morning.
Live on SEN Track, you're listening to the Tab Touch Lounge. With Tab Touch, the race starts when the bet's on. Tab Touch, better your bet. Gamble responsibly. Call Gambler's Help on 1-800-858-858.
Yeah, it's great to have your company on the Friday edition of the Tap Touch Lounge. We're back again tomorrow between 9 and 11. Do join us on the station you're listening to now, SEN Track 657, or the Track app. Tomorrow morning, by the way, we'll also be on SEN Spirit 621 and the app as well through Bunbury and the lovely Southwest, which would be just a picture with the weather we're having at the moment. Just repeating some of the big news, Pat Cummings has been installed as the 47th Test captain for the Australian cricket team, so he'll lead us into the Ashes. Steve Smith, his deputy, Tim Payne, has come out this morning in pretty significant news, saying he's stepping away from all forms of cricket for the foreseeable future. So it appears that he won't be taking part in the Ashes series, and the next announcement will be who will replace him behind the stumps. And you think that Alex Carey is possibly in the box seat ahead of our very own West Australian Josh Inglis. The Adelaide Strikers will play the Perth Scorchers in the WBBL final here tomorrow at 10 minutes past four. It should be a beauty here at Optus Stadium. $10 for adults and $5 concession, and it's free for kids under 15. So in the days of certainly high prices to see sporting events and entertainment events, that's pretty reasonable, isn't it, Declan?
And you know what, Pete? I think a lot of people, we saw it last week, yes, there was the Sturridge effect, but I think a lot of sporting people, we've missed out on live sport for obvious reasons. We've had TV screens, racing and wagering. We've spoke many times. We've done a great job over COVID. We love our sport, always have. I think a lot of people who might not be diehard football fans or cricket fans, when there's an event, beautiful weather, are coming out in droves. And I hope there's no change tomorrow. What are you looking forward to tonight? What are you going to do today?
I'm looking forward, actually, to see the Western United Perth Glory match. Yep. I'm also intrigued to see how much game time Daniel Sturridge gets.
Yep.
On the back end of only getting, what, 6 minutes or five, 6 minutes the other night in the first home game. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the running of the Winterbottom Stakes. I'll sit down, as I did last Saturday, after the Tab Touch Lounge, and catch the coverage on Network 10, you know, vested interest, because Britt Taylor, who's part of our Tab Touch team,
yep,
is very much the host from a Perth aspect on the big day, the Tab Touch Master Series tomorrow. So I look forward to that. And really, I suppose the other thing that I might even actually sit down today and see a bit of the Marsh One Day Cup involving Tasmania and Western Australia, a game that Tim Payne was due to play in, but pulled out this morning, so he won't be taking part for Tasmania in that 50-over-a-side one day against Western Australia. So, you know, that just gives you a bit of a snapshot what I'll be looking at across the weekend. And, of course, really casting a real keen interest on what happens here tomorrow at 10 past four. Let's hope the Perth Scorchers, led by Sophie Devine, can take home the title against the Adelaide Strikers.
I'm going to do the same. I'm looking forward to A-League action tonight at 4:45. I'll watch that. I'm going to keep an eye on Gloucester Park. I've got a few tips and I'm going
have
to...
Have you?
Yeah, well,
You can share them with me after the show, if you like.
If you listen to 657 or on the SEN app at 11 o'clock, you'll hear Talking Harness.
Good call.
The guys always have great tips. I'm looking forward to that. And I'm also, if you think Friday's show was good, thank you for listening. Saturday's always the premium show of the Tab Touch Lounge, because we go right through the Southwest, big guests, And I know we're going to be having a chat to Lisa Devano. She's got a great story to
tell. Yes, we speak to Lisa Devano. The news came out, as we know, yesterday that she has signed at 37 years of age with the Perth Glory. She did start her professional football career in the women's game with the Perth Glory. She's had two previous stints with Glory. She's a Fremantle girl. Played, I think, in Spearwood and Coburn United in her youth career before going on to represent Australia 150 times at Matilda's level. So Lisa Devano is back. She'll be wearing the purple this W League season, and we'll feature her on the Tab Touch Lounge tomorrow morning.
Great signing, a wealth of experience. I was just looking at her CV. She's played right around the world, and I think it's a wonderful addition.
That's it, Deck, for the Friday morning edition, the $50 Tab Touch voucher. We're going to give that to one of our listeners who texted in on 0487 736 736. Have you got a winner, great man?
Well, I think Bobby from Victoria Park is going to, he's putting all his eggs in Shorty's basket. That's his highlight. And he also got the code word, which was weekend. So on both fronts, well done, Bobby.
And just repeating, the Davis Cup started last night. Australia went down 3-0 to Croatia. But it is a round-robin tournament. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Jess. We'll see you tomorrow from 9 here.